Okay. So today is the fifth of sixth of fifth. Today is the sixth of fifth of July, 2018, Thursday class. At Sister Pamasiri and Brother Tion's house. Okay, nominate some people to light the candle and incense. Come forward to light the incense. Lai. The taipiao. Come. Then the rest of us get ready for puja. There's another candle here. Another candle is here. Sadhu. You three. Offer the three first. Then let us compose our mind, develop the faith, siddha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Amila Pho. Namo Amila Pho. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated, then turn to page 1. Page 1 of the chanting book, we will chant the bandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpada. Ādīna dānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpada samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpada samādhiyāmi. Mosāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpada samādhiyāmi. Sura meraya maja pama datana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the padipa puja offering of likes. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina. Diloka dipang sambuddhaṃ pujayami tamonudhaṃ. Ganda sambarayutena dopenahaṃ suganghina. Pujaye pujaniyantaṃ puja bhajanamuttamaṃ. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin. Pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena. Punnena matena cha hotu mokhaṃ. Pupaṃ milayati yata idaṃ me. Kayo tataya ti vinasa bhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang adivasetu no bante Pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Okay, making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings, exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. Y'all can be seated. We can have half an hour of meditation. Just nice. Just off the light. Relax body and mind. Then maintain silence. For those who still need to train the mind, you go ahead. For those who still need to stabilize the sati, you also go ahead with the training. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you just relax body and mind and allow things to be. then just maintain the silent mind, the inner awareness, the sati. That one will understand many things. Stay with the awareness, stay with the silent mind. Then whatever arises, allow it to be. Then let it return to its natural state. The natural state of mind is already the true mind, stillness, before the perception, before the arising of aggregates of mind, before the thinking. So when you understand that, you just relax, silent, and allow the mind to be. Then it will slow down, slowly, slowly settle down. Then you will come to experience the true mind. That's why you have to come into contact with the true mind, the silent mind. That is the meditative mind, and we call it pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, when the mind is completely still, no thought. So that is the meditative mind, but you need to stabilize that mind until the mind enters sati, until everything like completely still, stop. But it's a free mind. That's why the Jai Krishnamurti quote that we have gone through. The extraordinary seeing is using that sati, that free mind, that true mind, to really observe and to see. Then awakening can happen. So meditation is very simple. Once your spiritual faculties are there, you will be in a meditative state straight away. So you don't need to do anything. Even if it is not stable, you just allow it to be silent and maintain the awareness. Then this sati will take over when there is no mental hindrance, when you don't react to sense experience, when there is no like and dislike. Then your mind becomes peaceful. That's how you meditate. Then within that calmness, that peacefulness, there is this clarity of mind within, silent, just aware. That one can understand a lot of things. That one can meditate. That one can observe how mental activity and stirring come to be, how you become entangled, how you react to sense experience and all those things, and how the mind follow dependent origination and function accordingly. This is how you develop wisdom through observation, silent observation, without any mind that wants to do anything. Just observe to develop the understanding. And when the understanding arises, when the insight arises, your form and mind will know, because it's connected to it. Okay, I will let you develop the meditation, then I will ring the bell when the 30 minutes is up. Okay. Just relax body and mind. Slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. You will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhammasavanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasavanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasavanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato To Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vija Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jep. Budang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax yourself, huh? Then maintain some form of attention. Okay, in front of you there is a J. Krishnamurti quote on extraordinary seeing. Have I done this with the Thursday class? Haven't I? Yeah. Okay, we will go through it. Then there is also another one, I think, the last Sunday one. The last Sunday one is very good. I think I just sent out yesterday. Yeah? Was this yesterday? The last Sunday one was very good because we talked about the path and fruition of the enlightenment, of the sainthood way. Then also we got some very good question from Jin Hao and Tammy on the meditation, the cultivation. So if you can get it photostated, it will be very good. Wait, I check, see whether I send it to you receive. Huh? Not yet. Wait. I have to check. Oh, okay. How come I send it out on the 3rd? Yeah, I send it out on the 3rd. Oh, I didn't forward to all. I only forward to a few. Okay, I forward to you, Parmasri. Yeah? Then you try to print it out. This one is useful. Yeah, Sunday. Oh, you forward it to the Maitreya Mitra. I forward to Padmasri. Then Padmasri can get it printed out later. Okay, I sent out already. You can send the PDF. How come your PDF don't have the highlighting? Got it? You follow my file, right? Oh, okay. Just arrived. Can the rest of you see? Yes. Okay. Only 2 pages. Okay, maybe I read through this to you first. Wow, this one is a bit small. You all can see? Yeah? Oh, you don't have your handphone. Then we wait for the photostat. Yeah? Okay, I'll go through the Krishnamurti quote. Okay, this is the topic on extraordinary seeing, Jai Krishnamurti Delikot. So this is the word Krishnamurti used, extraordinary seeing. But the Buddha used another word, the Pali word, Jnana Dasana, means direct seeing or seeing things as they are, to arise the knowledge and vision of the reality. Means the type of seeing give rise to wisdom. They call it Jnana Dasana. Jnana is wisdom. Yeah. But the English translation, most books put direct knowledge. It's actually not a knowledge, it's a direct understanding. But they use the word direct knowledge and wisdom of the reality, or vision of the reality, means the insight, the awakening. So it's commonly translated as direct knowledge and vision, or we call it the direct seeing leading to awakening. So extraordinary seeing, we are asking, as at the beginning, can the mind come to that extraordinary seeing? Not from the peripheral, not from the outside, not from the boundary, but come upon it without any seeking. This is the most important. There is no mind that seeks or wants to develop the enlightenment or understanding, or even crave for that type of seeing. And to come upon it without seeking is the only way to find that awakening or extraordinary seeing. Because to come upon it unknowingly, there is no effort involved, no seeking, no experience. And there is the total denial of all the normal practices to come to that center, to that flowering. So the mind is highly sharpened, highly aware, and is no longer dependent on any experience to keep itself awake. So this mind is highly aware. That's not ever mindful. It's just aware, nothing else. It is very sharp, this mind. I call it very sensitive, very sharp. Slightest movement, it will know, it will understand whatever that happened. When one asks oneself, one may ask verbally. For most people, naturally, it must be verbal. Do you all realize or not, every time when you want to understand something, you always use the word first. You know that. Because without the word, like you cannot understand. Or you cannot make head or tail of what that thing is. Every time you see something, the word must come out. Understand not? Then, You know what that thing is. So this is the problem with living being, human being. But the word become more important. You understand? And why you want the word? Because you are so conditioned. You go to school, what do you learn? You learn language, isn't it? Through what? Words. Words that you pronounce. Then this word give rise to meaning. And this come from concept, idea, words. Then you commit to memory. What does it become? When you commit to memory, what does it become? It become knowledge, isn't it? True or not? Whatever that you hold in your memory, you want to remember that. There is a knowledge, isn't it? And there is no wisdom, do you know that? So this is where the problem come about. So Krishnamurti say, when one asks oneself, One may ask verbally. Sometimes you talk to yourself using word. Then, for most people, naturally it must be verbal, otherwise they cannot understand. So you understand this sentence. Huh? Then Krishnamurti say, and one has to realize that the word is not the thing. Now you understand. Yeah? So take for example. Yeah? Let's say you look at this whiteboard at the back. How do you come to know there is a whiteboard? Yeah? This is very important, you know, no? Because you all always get yourself confused. Because if you cannot realize that the word is not the thing, so the word tree is not the tree. You understand? Yeah? So the word whiteboard, it's not the whiteboard, understand? Like this microphone that I hold on to, you call it microphone in there. The moment you perceive this fellow, because through memory, through your experience, you know this is microphone, understand? You cling on to the word because you are so conditioned. So what happened is, do you really see this microphone? Do you really perceive this thing that got no words on? You never, you assume. Because the word gives the meaning, isn't it? That's why you cling onto the word. You are so used to the word. You need the word to tell you what this thing is. Then with that word, you say, yeah, microphone. But you never see, you know. Never see means what? There is no direct perception, understand? The pure awareness of this thing. When you see this thing as it is, like the baby, the pure perception, there is nothing. It's just that thing. You cannot really explain it. You can maybe describe it using words. But that thing is not the actual thing that you perceive, understand? But this is the reality. Do you understand this? A lot of people don't realize. That's why I say you are being superficial when you live your life. Superficial means what? You are not really seeing. Everything you use the word, you take the word for it, and you never observe. That's why you are too busy thinking, planning, worrying. And you never with the moment in awareness to observe the moment, the pristine beauty and reality of the moment. So this is where your thought, sankhara, keep on moving. Because you cling on to words, then words give meaning. Then this meaning you find interesting, you commit to memory, it becomes knowledge. Knowledge bind, knowledge cannot free. Knowledge make you clever, smart, but never wise. You have to slowly develop the contemplation, the understanding of this. That's why here in the Krishnamurti quote, it gives you some description. But this description, unless you have done it, you cannot understand him. I will read to you. Yeah? He said, one has to realize that the word is not the thing. Like the word tree is not the tree. It's not the actual fact, the reality. The tree is very clear and very easy to differentiate. Isn't it? But that thing which you call the tree, where you have an idea, a concept of it, you have been taught what a tree is and you are so conditioned. You see something like that, you know, a tree. Or smaller one, you say, it's a plant. Then you look at the flower, you say, yeah, flower. But you are not really seeing it as it is. because you cling to the words. So what happened is, Krishnamurti said, the actual fact is, when one touches it, like that tree, you feel it, understand? And the other one he didn't describe is, when you are aware of it, pure awareness before the knowing, like the baby. When they see things as they are, without the memory, the word, the concept, the idea, that is the pure seeing. So this part, Krishnamurti didn't mention. He just tried to explain to you, yeah, when one actually comes into contact with it, then it is an actuality, which means the word has lost its power to mesmerize people. Means you don't rely on the word. The word is not important anymore. Word is for you to develop the understanding to communicate with people. Because people need words to understand things. Need words to express things. There's a language and words. The mundane mind, the thinking mind is needed to live life, to communicate, to study, to learn things and other things, and to remember things. So this is how you use your mind. So this part is very important. Huh? The actual fact, like that tree, is when one touches it. So he just used this word. You use your feeling, you touch it. But sometimes you can use your pure perception, your awareness. You just feel through your mind, pure perception, aware of it, no words, nothing. Because I really see, means I am thorough. Then because I have observed it, I am aware of it, what happened is, because of the awareness within the moment, you are not lost in thought. You are not preoccupied with any thought process or thinking. There is clarity, understand? Then you can recall what you observe or what you see if you want to. That is what mindfulness is all about. When you are mindful and aware, there is clarity within that moment. Then you can recall or recollect through memory because you have seen it before. It's just like when I put my purse somewhere. Yeah, let's say I want to keep it in the drawer. If I'm mindful of that movement, I will recall where I put that purse. Do you realize that? Yeah? But if you are heedless, like habitual, how you take the purse out of the pocket also you don't know, where you put it also you don't know. Because you are busy thinking, thinking, thinking. So what happened? When you are not aware and mindful, you cannot remember where you put your purse. Then you start to look for it, check. You cannot recollect at all. Well, at that moment, you are not mindful. You are not aware. How can you recollect? So, awareness is very important. But awareness is not memory. Don't get it wrong. A lot of people use it wrongly. When they like when you drop your spoon or what, told you to be mindful. You think that is mindfulness? They want nothing to do with mindfulness, understand? Or? Mindfulness is you can be only mindful of one thing at a time. But sometimes your mindfulness can move very fast. That's why you can have a generous, spacious awareness where you don't really develop the clarity or awareness. But when there is specific phenomenal awareness, like you look at this microphone, you just observe this, you are not distracted. Understand? It's not a spacious awareness. Then you will understand what this thing is very clearly. That's why people say you are observant. Means they can remember what color here, what color there, they can recall through memory. But they are observant. Then your face got anything or something not usual, they can see it. That's why the people who are observant, they are really seeing. They are not thinking. They are not lost in thought. They are not using the word. If you use the word, means, oh, this one. Like last time Yu-chan say, the husband, Raymond. Actually, Yu-chan has some new hairstyle. No? He put something on the head. He said, my husband didn't even notice. No? He still think he's the same old Yu-chan. No? That's why she laugh. Then she came to know that the conditioning, the words, then you overlook. Then people ask you, hey, you didn't observe anything different today? Especially your wife got a new haircut or what? Sometimes it's very obvious, then only you notice. Another. But if it's not so obvious, you won't notice. You are never mindful. You take for granted, yeah lah, my wife lah, who else can it be? Or when they see Tammy, I say, Tammy lah, what else? But small thing that you have changed, they didn't notice. But if you are mindful, you are sensitive, even that person not happy, not her usual self that day, you can feel it. Most people can, understand, especially serious change of emotion. Just for no reason, that Kayamita or that friend may be very bubbly, very excitable, and very friendly, suddenly come very quiet, very sad. Cannot even smile. Then you know. But there is a major difference. But if it's slight different, if it's slight problem, he behaves like normal or she behaves like normal, you cannot feel because you are not sensitive. You don't have this mindfulness. You don't have this sensitivity. Yeah. When you have this sensitivity, you are very different. So this part is very important. Learn to observe. Learn to be silent. So just now I haven't finished. So mindfulness is, if you are mindful of this thing, let's say, microphone, or the whiteboard, or you are aware of my speech, you cannot be aware of other things, isn't it? Correct or not? So if you are aware of your hand movement, you cannot be aware of other things, except the peripheral, all the movement, the activity, the phenomena. There is a peripheral, means spacious awareness. Because all the movement, you will be aware. Then you want to know, you observe. You don't want to know, you just let it be. Then sometimes you're completely silent. All this movement, you are aware. And because you are aware, you know it happened before. You can recollect if you want to. Otherwise, just let it be. So most of the time, your mind is quiet, silent. Either spacious awareness or specific phenomenal awareness. That is what the enlightened mind is all about. That's what meditation is all about. If you are heedful, aware, throughout the day, your mind is this way, just aware, mindful. Either specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness, silent. Most of the time, it's just silent, aware. And all this you will come to understand if you have done the daily mindfulness correctly. And you will understand what Krishnamurti say and what I try to share with you. Then this last part I will read to you. For example, the word God is so loaded and it has mesmerized people so much that they will accept or deny and function like a squirrel in a cage. So the word and the symbol must be set aside. So this is what the extraordinary seeing is all about, the direct seeing is all about. When you see things as they are, there is no word. But please, don't make that mistake like I used to point out to people. Just because you heard from me, then you say, hey, Brother Teo, say, direct seeing, or see things as they are. Then you want to go and practice direct seeing. I tell you, you are dead. This direct seeing cannot come about through practice. Understand? This direct seeing will only happen when your daily mindfulness is very stable. When you are most of the time aware, then that mind manifests. That's why Krishnamurti say, you cannot want to do it. Who practice? The thought. The thought want direct seeing. Understand? That's why he want to practice vipassana. Practice direct seeing. How can you do it? Because there is a thought that has a will, an egoic, that has craving, that is seeking for for enlightenment. Understand? Seeking for the direct seeing. And the mind that seek cannot find that is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you just have faith. Understand, do, train. Develop the daily mindfulness until you are in that state of stability of mindfulness. That's why the Buddha say heedfulness. Ever mindful. Constantly meditative. You need to hit that state. Otherwise, you don't stand a chance. Otherwise, all these are theory, knowledge. It's very difficult for you to develop the clear understanding. But when you do it, when the thing come, like I say, you bow, like that day Chin Hao asked, why do you want to know all this thing? You want to contemplate, contemplate. You want to do walking, just do. Do until body and mind as one. Then when the sati arises, the form and mind will know, because it's connected to it. Then you know what that sati is. Not from the word anymore. You understand? It's just like whatever games you play, until you're very skillful, even cooking or what, is the same. Then you no need to remember how you cook that or how you play that. It's all automatic already. Spontaneous already. Like badminton. You just know how to return the shot. You just know how to flick. It's a skill you have acquired. So mindfulness is the same. When it's established, you become very skillful. Mindfulness is like a part of you, automatic, like the skillful player. They don't need to think. Spontaneously, they know how to execute those movements and stroke. And they know how to return, gracefully some more. And no time involved. They're spontaneous. That's why the flick, the spontaneous action, they are very fast, very potent. That's why all the return, if you flick, you smash, very fast. That's why the speed can reach 100 or 200 kilometers per second. Was it per second? Oh no, per hour. Sorry. Per hour. Per second too fast. Per hour. So you know how fast is 200-300 kilometers or not? You drive the car, you know that speed limit 110. That badminton like Lee Chong Wei there, they can execute the stroke, the speed of the shuttlecock. Sometimes 300 kilometers per hour. It's like you're driving that car at 110 km per hour. He is double or triple your speed, no? And you know how fast is that, no? Very fast, understand? Because when he did it, he execute, it's just a flick, chuk, the smash, plink, split second, chuk, means spontaneous. Doesn't go through memory, doesn't go through thought, nothing. It just act because it's so skillful. But they can plan their whatever game, understand not? Then how they plan? They observe the player. He is strong in what area. Then he is weak in what area. That's why you attack the area where he is weak, understand? Then when you observe your opponent also observe you, understand? He is also a good player, a wise player. That's why if you are a wise cultivator, it's the same. Who are your opponent? Huh? Louder. Ah, yes, very good. Use this one for the recording.
Defilement.
Very good, defilement. So they are your opponent. Because this defilement delude you, deceive you, condition you into negativity. And constantly make you stir your mind. That's why it is very powerful. It triggers off delusion. And when delusion is there, the evil roots are there. Because you are deluded by the phenomenal world. By that so-called phenomena that arise. You give meaning, you attach, you cling, you hold. That's why you suffer. So, every time when you want to improve yourself, you have to observe, isn't it? Like badminton, you observe your player, isn't it? Then through your observation, you know this opponent is strong in what area, weak in what area, then how can you beat him? So when you observe the defilement, then you will understand how you get into trouble. Your defilement is your own delusion. Observing defilement, your opponent is observing your own delusion, your own wrong view, your own selfishness, your own egoic mind, your own fear, your own phobia, your own whatever insecurity and other things. So when you observe all this, you know where you went wrong. Understand? These are your delusion, your defilement. So what you will do is, after you observe, you correct yourself, correct? By straightening your view. So the area where you are weak, like badminton, you improve yourself, understand? Like your baseline, if it's weak, people attack your backhand. You have to improve yourself. That's how you improve your game. So defilement is the same. If every time he can trick you and make you deluded, then you have to think of a way not to be deluded by it, not to be deceived by it. That's why you keep on straightening your views. This is what cultivation is all about. You meditate to observe, to understand, then only you can change and straighten your view. So meditation is about developing the ability to observe mindfully, clearly, so that you develop the wisdom to an understanding, to understand how you get into trouble and how people get into trouble. Then you know how to come out of it. And that wisdom is understanding. That is the one that frees your mind. When you understand, when you have right view, you are no longer deluded. You are different. You cannot be like before, get into trouble anymore. Everything becomes so clear. Like the badminton player who is very skillful. Where every department he is very skillful. The opponent cannot attack you anymore because you have perfected it. You are so skillful. But badminton is slightly different because you need a healthy body. You need the youth. Understand? But that day, the match between Lee Chong Wei and Momoto, how many of you saw that game? Asiata final. In Malaysia, no? Chong Wei got the 12th. He won the title 12 times that day. He was in the final with Momoto. No? Momoto was 12 years younger than Lee Chong Wei. No? Lee Chong Wei 35, he 23 earlier. And Lee Chong Wei beat him. No? And the game was very good. Both are very good. That's why after that, Momoto salute him. He said, "You don't play like a 35-year-old. You play like me, 20 years old." Then Miss Boon also, the coach, said, "Lee Chong Wei didn't feel old. Understand? Huh? Yeah, everything is in the mind." That's why they say, "You may be old physically." We have a very famous Chinese saying, "Zhen Lao, Xing Bu Lao." You know Mandarin, Yan Lo Sam Bu Lo. Your mind never age, understand? Your mind never die. When you know how to train your mind is ever young, fresh, pristine, understand? How did the mind grow old? When it has wrong view, understand? When the mind has wrong view to perceive things negatively, you know how they perceive negatively? "Ayo, I'm so old already. I'm so useless. Last time I used to have this hell. I can execute. Now I can't. Now my own children also look down upon me. The youth also laugh at me. Sometimes they say my friend, my colleague laugh at me. The younger people laugh." So this is how your mind grow old. Well, you don't understand that physical body is not you, understand? You can still have love, compassion, wisdom, understanding. You still can have joy. And when people look at you having this type of mind, they realize, hey, you are different. You are not the one that from the old generation, understand? Old thinking, cannot get along with people, understand? They call it low one tong. So all this is Dhamma. So when you understand, you will know how to apply them. You will know how to develop them. So observation is very important. There's an attentiveness. Ability to be aware, to observe. Observe without thought, without interpretation, without judgment, condemnation. You know why Krishnamurti say that? When you observe something like the child, and you start to condemn, or you start to judge that person, you are no longer observing him and her. But you are using your perceived memory. You perceive him with negativity. That's why you comment. You condemn. You say, stupid fellow. Don't know how to do things. Stupid according to who? According to you. Because you perceive him with negativity. Sometimes you look down upon him. Ayo, this guy. Ayo, why he so child? Because some people got a lot of Dhamma knowledge. He said, like that also cannot understand. You meet Hui Ning, he also illiterate. He also got no knowledge. He also doesn't understand anything. But the moment there is truth, he understands. That's why you cannot look down upon somebody just because of your perceived knowledge. Your knowledge is not wisdom. And you cannot take things for granted. You cannot look down upon people. Even the expatriate and Bodhidhamma, they told their disciples the same thing. Don't look down on anybody. And I like the Mahayana way of approaching things. He said, do not offend any living being. You know why did they say that? If you offend any living being, you are offending a potential Buddha. When you hear this word, offending a potential Buddha, then you think twice whether you dare to offend him or not. Understand? Well, he can become a Samasambuddha. Everybody got the Buddha nature. Understand? It's a matter of time. The right time, the right understanding, the condition. So, avoiding all evil is to tell you not to make any mistake. Never look down on anybody. And most of the great beings, the Bodhisattva, they come in what form? Like Wen Su. You know who is Wen Su or not? Huh? Manjushri Bodhisattva, foremost in wisdom. He always like to come as a beggar. As a beggar. Very sick. Very poor. So if you have this prejudice, I tell you, you cannot meet them. A lot of these beings, you never know who they are unless you have that nature inside, that ability to observe, the sensitivity, ability to feel, and all those things. Okay, so we finish with the Krishnamurti quote. Any question about this topic? So today you learn something new about the words. That's why I say you have to observe yourself. Check whether what I say is the truth or not. Because you will come to realize that when you are mindful, observant, you rely on word a lot. Without word, you cannot bring about the meaning of thing. That's why after 1989, when I understand all this, when I look at all these things, no word, I just look. And everything is so pristine. It's like first time I look at it. I look at it thoroughly. Understand? It's the pure observation, awareness of it. When you observe, you really observe the difference between the top part, the bottom part, and you see everything. And this one, that every time I press, I observe it. And I know the pattern, the line, and all those things. That's why this whole thing, when I've seen it before, I observe it before, I will know what this thing is. Then when I hold it again, I will know. Because there is awareness. Then when you hold, you are mindful of it. So meditation is the same. When your mind is already trained, it has this ability, then it will see automatically the direct seeing. The silent mind that just observe, no thought, no word, nothing to interfere. But to live life, you can observe, then perceive. Perceive means, like I mentioned in the earlier short note, you have to recognize people there. Like I look at you all, spatial awareness, I don't have to recognize that. But when I want to, like, dialogue with one of you, I need to perceive that. But when I perceive, I don't go and proliferate the thought, no. I don't go and let this thought, oh, tell me today how. Means I am not really perceiving you, no. I get involved with describing what happened to you, no. Understand? Of course, sometimes you come after a long time, everybody will know, oh, especially those who go for ordination, when the hair is gone, you look at them, you will know, oh, what happened? Of course, you can be curious, you can ask that question, but you are mindful, understand? The thought doesn't proliferate. Means observe, perceive, recognize, move on. Then need to ask question, ask. You do it with awareness. You are not heedless. You are not like, for the sake of talking. Chapa boy, hobo. These are not your sincere speech. Understand? How are you? Are you feeling okay? Because you got no other way to address people. Understand? But if you're really sincere, you will look. Then you will observe. Then like I come in, they all greet me, then I acknowledge. That's it. Understand? Finish. Then if I see something, if there's condition, I will ask. You look different today. So what happened? That's why I say every time I approach things differently. Of course, there are certain type of habitual tendency that I'm used to, like my style of speech. Understand? Then the food I like, then my certain type of behavior. But this is unique to this form of mind. But what happened inside, you cannot understand. That's why I say, don't quote me. You don't follow what I do, thinking that by following what I do, you can become me. That is not the understanding. It's just like Bodhidharma told the monk, you think by sitting quietly for 3 days, 3 nights, you can become enlightened? So finally they realize it's foolish to sit without understanding, torture themselves and other things. So when they ask him back, that's why I wait for that book, Lesson 75, coming out soon. Punchy sent me the spelling check. Oh, she's very good. She can detect quite a lot of the spelling check. So I'm now going through it. I think I have reached page 40, number 15. A bit more to go. Then after that, if got anybody else, I will just check through. Then maybe we can get it out for printing. To do up the what they call the final copy, so that the printer can send us the what you call that, the template, the template copy, so that we base on that final round proofreading, then we will get it printed. This one has all these things. This one is very good. So this chapter, they ask back Bodhidharma, if by sitting we cannot get enlightened, then what must we do? Then Bodhidharma explained to them. He said, do you know the Buddha is the Buddha because he has the embodiment of his cultivation, his perfection of wisdom and virtue. The Buddha is not the Buddha just because of how he walk, how he sit, and how he do all those things. Of course, when he was in the 6 years of training, He did all those things. But before he's enlightened, whatever he do, he don't have the understanding yet. But it's meant to be, because he has to understand what people do, then point out their mistake. Then later on, when he become enlightened, awakened, he also, when he teach, he sit. But he sit with understanding. And that time he actually beyond study, no need to sit. But he need to teach, he need to show example. That's why sometimes I also sit with you. At the retreat, you also observe, I also lie down and meditate with you. But the nature doesn't need all these things anymore. It's part of my nature. The understanding, the awareness, the heedfulness is with my nature. So this one no need to train, no need to do anything really. But because sometimes it gives faith to people, it makes you confident. Then sometimes when I sit there, you feel good. But actually that nature which is there will also help you, definitely. Then because of the condition, my sharing and all say, the non-human, the consciousness and the collective consciousness, is very potent, that 9-day retreat. Then we are staying together in that Sambhausa. Then my nature is there. And there is a lot of things within the environment too. The great being's nature, all this are there. That's why when you are at the retreat, you never knew how much wholesomeness have you developed. How much condition have you benefited from. Because most of you are not that sensitive yet. Except those who already have developed their cultivation practice quite well. They have their ability to feel and all that. Then their nature also will help. Then those who have the faith, the joy, the understanding, they will benefit tremendously. Yeah. And they will know it. On their own, they will know it. That's why they keep on coming. They develop the interest to cultivate, to learn. Because they see their life improving. They see their own personality, their own character changing for the better. And when they have this understanding, when they start to change, they realize their life changed. Because karma take care. So when you follow the advice of the Buddha, you become different, you become beautiful. So this is what Dhamma is all about. And it can bring about transformation in the living being. It can liberate the living being. It can free you from your usual suffering, your usual problems that you confront in life. And it can bring about understanding that can transform your life. When you understand life, you become different. You become beautiful. Then you can really live life to the fullest. Then there is constant joy, constant happiness, constant peacefulness of mind, clarity, awareness. And you continuously perfect yourself. Then you become a blessing to all. You can help people. Then you can bring about a lot of blessings. Not only to yourself, your loved one, to the world, to society, to the collective consciousness, the planetary consciousness, yeah, or the consciousness within your vicinity, within your house. Because when you have the Dhamma, you radiate pure energy, good vibration. You have right thought, pure thought. You have virtue, you have love, compassion, sincerity, kindness, goodness, gentleness, pleasantness. The virtue is always there. Your gratitude, your very peaceful type of mind. The mind that is always aware, collected, peaceful, with the joy, with the enlightenment factor. Ever mindful. Then if you have already developed the understanding, normally you don't really need to contemplate anymore unless it's to help people. because as far as the Dhamma part is already very clear. So all this, sati leading to Dhamma Vichaya, the second factor of enlightenment, then you already put it to test, stand up to investigation. That's why your faith become very strong. Then it will drive you to cultivate. That's why from sati, Dhamma Vichaya, you will have what they call virya. And this virya will bring about the cultivation. That's why after that your sati, mindfulness, will become more and more stable. Because that virya will drive you to cultivate more diligently, more sincerely with the faith. So when you have the faith, sincerity and diligence or perseverance, you will progress. Your mind becomes so different. So when you hit sati, stable, you experience piti, you experience sukhang. Then later on you continue to relax and silent and just maintain the silence within to observe, to cultivate, to meditate. You develop heedfulness. Then the mind becomes so quiet and so still. That is what prasati is all about, the fifth enlightenment factor. So when prasati arrives, that is your silent mind. That is your meditative mind, that is your true mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. So that is the mind that can observe, can understand, can make you aware in the midst of life. You have to train that mind until the prasati becomes so stable, the mind enters sati. The mind is in sati. Then after that, every moment of seeing is in sati. Every moment of hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, thought, process, same. Then when you are in sati, you can carry this mind state out into the daily life so that in the midst of life, you are fully aware, ever mindful. That's why you have sati throughout the day, all the time with you. Then that spacious awareness without a center, the specific phenomenal awareness, is very normal to you. Well, throughout the day, you experience them. Then you start to see a lot of things through that silent mind. Your seeing become different. That's how the extraordinary seeing come about, the direct seeing come about. You see things as they are. Well, most of the time your mind is quiet, still, silent. It just observe. Then through the observation, it develops wisdom, insight, it awakens. Then it understands. Then the teaching becomes so clear. Every Dhamma becomes so clear. All the truth that the Buddha talked about, that you hear from the Sutta and my sharing, become very clear to you. That's how transformation can happen. That's how awakening, enlightenment can happen. Then later on in the form of meditation, you will go through the cessation to realize Nibbana. In the daily mindfulness, the sainthood way, you will have a glimpse of mindfulness. Just a moment, split second, the mind cease. And you awaken. You're on the path, like that day I explained. But when you're on the path, the form and mind will know. Know in the sense that the understanding is already there. The factors that cessation has bring about, like Sotapanna, the first three factors already rooted out. It will know. It will understand. Then whenever something happens related to these three factors, you are no longer deluded. You will know how to respond and behave. Where you know, he know you, he know me. The form and mind is not real. Impermanent, lead to suffering. Empty, non-self. You will know very clearly. Then no more rites and ritual. Yeah. Then the faith in the triple gem, unshakable. Yeah. Then after that, you continue to reflect, contemplate and cultivate until this understanding becomes so stable. Then one day you realize you can express it. You can share with people. You can explain what you understand. Then you reach the fruition of that particular sainthood training. Yeah. If it's Sotapanna, you are on the path, then you will realize the fruition. But some people, those who already cultivated before in the past, because they had done way beyond all the sainthood way, the moment they realize that cessation, a lot of things will happen. Then sometime within the same moment, from path, it will experience friction. Yeah. And the path and friction for the first four sainthood way, Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, and even Arahanta, they can just go through very fast. Just go through it. Then they become very different. Then they will understand all this because they start to inherit from their past cultivation, their perfection. Then especially those great beings, when they come, all this is there. And they will understand very fast. Then they will reach back to the level they were very fast. Then from there, they continue again. That's why they continue to fulfill their vow. They continue to perfect their perfection, their virtue. So all this is part and parcel of the cultivation of the way. Okay? So tonight, these pointers are very important. Okay. Now we come back to you all. You got any question regarding what I've shared? Or you want to report your meditation, you can. Make full use. We still got 35 minutes. While you all think of the question, I need to go to washroom. I drink too much water. Then also can get me a cup of Chinese tea. I will use the upstairs one. You want to take toilet break? Go ahead. Okay. Anybody? Yes. raise your hand, then we pass you the mic. The mic is there. Just report your meditation if you got no question. If you got question, you can just ask regarding your cultivation, your practice or whatever. Like last Sunday, the question was very good because they just report what they do. If you don't report and let me understand what you are doing, then I cannot point out to you whether you have done it correctly or not. Like that day, Chin Hao. Luckily, he asked. Otherwise, he will be trapped there. Then Tammy also that day, I think, asked very good question. There were two questions, Tammy. Very good. That short notes, just now the one on is described there. You should go back and read through. Just now, Chin Hao sent on. Because a lot of people don't know how to deal with mental hindrance when they meditate. Like that day, Tammy described sloth and torpor. Because this sloth and torpor, very few people understand. They don't know how to overcome it. So luckily she asked. Then I explain again. Your sloth and torpor is also another mental hindrance, no different from the others. And most people got problem with pain, itchiness, then anger and other things. So most of those who don't have the understanding, they cultivate without understanding. That's why they get into trouble. And they cannot progress because they follow the old way. And they never observe to understand what happened. Then they never relate to the teaching. Maybe we go through that one more time. What does the teaching say? Let's say like that day, Tammy is it? When he got this problem of sloth and torpor, he said he know that he's supposed to develop the understanding to reverse it and all those things. So what happened is she go and do one thing that normal people outside do. He said, open the eye. Open the eye means you are less sleepy there. Correct or not? But you have to understand, why do you sit? What is your purpose? That's why I say meditation is to be done with understanding. You have to understand what you do. Okay? So, why do you sit? We start one by one. That's why I say you inquire. Then you will learn. Then you write it down. You have to meditate with understanding. So, what is formal meditation? Sitting. So, sitting or formal meditation is to develop what? Means why you sit? Why do you sit? Like the Zen monk say what? 坐禅成佛. I sit to become enlightened, to become Buddhas. The Dhamma like very impressive there. You think by sitting you can become Buddha, you can become enlightened? If you sit without understanding, nothing will happen. It's not the sitting that make you enlightened. The reason why people sit is because of what? Your inquiry should start from where? Yeah? You sit because you are trying to realize something in there. Just like Tammy said, to realize the wisdom, the enlightenment. But then how do you do it? You need the silent mind, isn't it? So you have to ask yourself, what did the Buddha in his teaching teach? Why is my mind not peaceful, not silent, not in a meditative state? Why? That's why I have to inquire and find out. The moment I see it in the form of meditation, I have to inquire. One, am I peaceful? And aware. Yeah, this is what I'm trying to achieve, isn't it? I'm trying to develop. My mind must be aware and peaceful. Then I only can develop the next stage, stabilize it to become ever mindful. Yeah. So am I peaceful and aware then? Have I stabilized the sati or awareness? These two is very simple. And what happened to most people? The moment they see it, what happened? They got a lot of mental hindrance there. Their mind is either restless, mental hindrance. Arise. Yeah. That is their mind is restless, huh? Restlessness, because they think a lot, huh? Or they have sloth and torpor. Means sleepy, lethargic mind. Restlessness is think a lot. This one, think a lot. Heedless. Wandering thought, heedless and all those things. So if you are mindful when you are doing the sitting meditation and you observe and realize that there is this thought going on, thinking, or you are sleepy, what must you do? You have to check, isn't it? What did the Buddha say? These are mental hindrance. So if these are mental hindrance, it will hinder my mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. True or not? That's why I cannot meditate. So straight away, you will know this is the cause. So mental hindrance is the cause. Cause of your lack of peace. Like, oh, no place to write. Never mind, I put here. Lack of peace. So when you know this is a cause, what must you do? The next step. You're supposed to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties, eh? But when you are in the midst of sitting, only you want to cultivate. You can't. You have to do it before that, through puja, through reflection, contemplation on the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, and the Sana, to develop the faith, sadha, through understanding who the Buddha is, and how unique a being he is, and how wonderful his teaching is all about. Then that faith has to become unshakable, very stable. that it will drive you to cultivate, because you see the beauty in his teaching. You see the great virtue in him. And he is such a unique being. Not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. So that one will drive you to have the spiritual faculty of Sada leading to Virya. When you have Virya, you cannot have sloth and torpor. True or not? Then when you have Sati, there is no more restlessness of mind. Sati means you're just aware. No thought, no thinking, nothing. Stillness. That's why without Sada Virya, Sati cannot arise. Without Sati, the mind will be heedless. It will think a lot. It will oscillate between like and dislike. Because there is a lot of this pleasant and unpleasant feeling going on as well. Then you encounter pain. Then you encounter this mind telling you, "Ayo, today my meditation is no good. I cannot focus. I cannot concentrate. I cannot get the calmness, the peacefulness." So what is all this? This is the duality of sensual desire and ill will. Then finally you start to doubt, "Ayo, don't know what is happening. Don't know whether I've done it correctly or not. Or maybe my teacher is wrong." So you have all this doubt. Then you want to try another method, another technique. Go and see another teacher. That's why all these five mental hindrances, they are there. And they are there because you lack all the five spiritual faculty. When you have faith, there is no more doubt. True or not? When you have faith, you are calm, you are composed. Then Virya is there. You cannot be sleepy. Then you would have cultivated Sati. That's why you straight away in the meditative state. When you sit, straight away, you are in the meditative state. And when you don't create mental hindrance, what happens? There is nothing to hinder your mind, isn't it? From entering the meditative state. Isn't it? So what happens? When you just accept everything, don't react, don't create sensual desire and ill will, means like and dislike. Don't label them as pain. Don't have aversion towards all this restlessness of mind and sloth and torpor. Your mind become quiet, isn't it? Because there is no mental hindrance. Then Sati take over, understand? That is how you're supposed to meditate. Then when Sati take over, you start to feel the calmness, the peacefulness. Because you're just aware. Then you experience pity. Yeah. When you experience pity, that mind state is very good. That's why you must know how to relax into it and silent. Then initially, let's say, your spiritual faculty, you have some, but not stable. Not stable means thinking will still arise, but much less already, not like last time already. So heedless, understand? So what happens is, when you see this thought arise, but you realize, not like last time, very active, heedless, like you cannot stop at all. But you know there are thoughts, occasionally. Then what you do? The untrained mind is heedless. Think a lot. Mental hindrance will be there. Well, my spiritual faculty is not stable. So what must I do? I must accept this understanding. When I accept this understanding, means what? I don't fight, I don't react, I don't suppress, I don't try to do anything. I don't want to do away. I don't want to push away all this mental hindrance of restlessness of mind, sloth. I don't want to force the mind to be still, to be quiet, to be peaceful. No more. If I don't resist, I don't suppress, I don't control, I don't fight, I'm at peace. Understand? There is no mental hindrance. So when there is no mental hindrance, there is no like and dislike, there is no seeking at all. The mind doesn't want to do anything. It just accepts the reality, silent, relax. That's why the four support is very important. These four. Yeah? Oh, already stick there. You all can see it. Can somebody just move that table? Oh, never mind. I move this chair better. Can see, can take out. Oh, so good. Oh, okay. Then stick it here. Oh, never mind. I put it down here. Easier. Right there. Huh, like that easier. Oh. Oh, you put your chair back. I can do it already. It's okay. Ah, okay. You remember? No need. Huh, it's okay. It's there. The fourth support for awareness-based meditation. You're supposed to relax. Yeah? Then maintain awareness. That's what you're supposed to do. So let the thought arise. What will happen to the thought if you don't feed it with any more seeking or mental energy? It will slow down, isn't it? It will slowly slow down, dissipate, and return to its original state, which is the true mind, which is just aware, silent, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, paucity. That's why initially it will slow down the thinking until it suddenly stops. And when it stops, you will know. Your form and mind will be aware. But all of a sudden, that whole brain here, like the activity, no more. It's just like middle of the night. Suddenly, all the car, no more. The vibration, the traffic, everything, no more. Very quiet. Then you can perceive it, isn't it? So quiet, so still. Those who study middle of the night, you will know. In a quiet night, you will sense it, feel. So when your mind don't have this heedless thinking, when the thinking stop, the awareness will come back. You will be aware. Eh? Without thought, you are still, peaceful, aware. No movement at all. That's how you meditate. Then when you are able to have this peaceful mind, which is aware, means you have done the first two correctly. Means you know how to relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain awareness, sati. Then after that, 24 hours, for as long as you can. That's why continue to relax and dwell silent. Then this silent mind will be aware of all the movement. Where you have a physical body with the senses. Your five physical senses and the mind, they every time make contact. So every time there is contact, like you hear something, it becomes very clear. You're observing with a silent mind. You don't react, you don't comment, you just say, "Wow, what is this?" Then the thought comes in. Understand? Just aware. Let it pass. Aware. Let it pass. Then if you do this until you're very stable, one day the awareness becomes so clear. The moment of contact, the awareness can be there. Then after that, all the movement, whether due to wrong view, egoic mind, or whatever, seeking, craving, or what, that caused your mind to stir and react, you are aware. Then you realize, hey, that guy is not me. That guy is memory, views and opinion, conditioning. So when my view is like that, I have this habitual tendency to react this way. Then when I don't understand, I have fear, understand? That's why sometimes the lightning strike you without you being aware. There is fear, understand? The lightning or whatever. Or something not normal happen. Like a loud sound or explosion or whatever. Then you realize there is fear. Who fear? Nothing fear. It's your wrong view. Your lack of right view. Fear of the unknown, understand? You don't have that wisdom inside there. When you have the wisdom, you realize everything is dependent originating, condition arising. Without the senses and the mind, there is no contact. No contact, nothing. Then you realize that's why the Buddha say mind is a forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. But for mind to arise, there must be senses. That's a sense basis for it to make contact. The moment there is contact, what happens? You are under paticca samuppada, you learn, you say upon contact, feeling arise. You go and check in the meditation, is it true? No, you don't go and look for feeling. Oh, the book say feeling arise. Then you go and look for feeling. That is not sati anymore, that's not enough. You don't look for anything, you just aware, silent. Then you realize that conscious mind that is conscious, within the consciousness, there is this seven universal which you will know. Not only contact, content or consciousness, your view, your opinion, your reaction, your stirring all come simultaneously. That's why without wisdom, without right view, upon contact, not only feeling arise, immediately you allow it to become craving. It's conditioned into craving because you don't have wisdom at the moment of sense experience. That's why your mind stir. You cannot stop. There is fear. There is reaction. There is this excitement sometimes. Then sometimes there is this negative reaction. That's why when you hit the correct meditation and you don't know, you enjoy the peacefulness, the calmness. Then when this one, because it is a conditioned state, just like the Buddha says, sabbe sankhara anicchang, it will change. But you don't know how to maintain the spiritual faculty. This sati cannot be maintained because your spiritual faculty is not stable. So the form of meditation is to stabilize this. That's why I say, you can do anapanasati. Then Tammy say, I'm very averse to anapanasati. I don't like anapanasati. Can I use other means? Can! Why cannot? Whatever skillful means that you are familiar with, that you are comfortable with, use it. But this is to anchor your mind so that it doesn't run. You can use the rising and falling. Or you can use whatever that can help you to hold on to that mind, but it must be in sati, understand? It must not focus and concentrate. Then there is no more sati. Then that is samatha. Focusing, concentration, going into absorption, continuous mindfulness. So you have to understand what you are doing. You have to train your mind to be aware. So training your mind to be aware, most people need an object of meditation. Because otherwise the mind thinks a lot, the hindrance come in. So the object of meditation is to anchor the mind so that you can develop sati, mindfulness. But if you already have sati, you don't need the object of meditation. Do you understand? That's why you use it initially until this mind becomes very quiet, very still, until it enters sati. Until the mind enters sati. Until this mind becomes so quiet, it's just tranquil. Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And that is your meditative mind. That's how you're supposed to develop your meditation. That's why no amount of sitting can make you enlightened if you don't understand what you are doing. Then when you understand, you sit until this mind become quiet, peaceful, still. Means you realize your true mind. Understand? When you realize your true mind, that is the mind that can meditate. Then the real meditation only start after that. Understand? Sati, mindfulness. Stable, ever mindful. Then you have to bring this state out into the daily life. Until you can be aware and mindful in the midst of life. Starting with your action, your movement in the retreat condition. In retreat condition also, you cannot hit this continuous mindfulness to be ever mindful. You don't stand a chance in the daily life. In the daily life, your senses are fully operational. Understand? They are all active. You need to use them. Every moment you need to use your seeing consciousness to see things. To do things, to hear things. Then sometimes the smell also come in, the tactile also come in. Then you also have what they call thought process coming in. Thinking, the fear, the worry, the anxiety. So all this coming together. So how can you cope? In a retreat where most of your senses are not active, you also cannot be in the state of continuous mindfulness. You don't stand a chance in the midst of life because your senses are active. That's why you have to develop it until very stable, then slowly bring it out into the daily life. Daily life means start with simple activity, four posture, bowing, walking, reflection, contemplation, then silent your mind to observe nature, like in the retreat there. Then when you come back into society, you need to work. That's right. So you have to cultivate the daily mindfulness, starting from your house. That's like a daily religious routine. Before you sleep, meditate. Do some puja. When you wake up, meditate. Do some puja. Then in between, maintain awareness, daily mindfulness. Mindfulness of all posture, all action. In between the four posture. So continuously do one thing at a time. The action, the movement, and the mind move as one. Don't allow your thought to precede you, proliferate. Don't go and think like last time. Standing aware, walking aware. When I move my hand, aware. When I'm aware of this movement, I cannot think. Understand? Huh? But because you are never with the moment, you never anchor your mind to this, that's why it thinks. That mind thinks a lot. Then that mind, without the spiritual faculty, has this tendency of restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. So all these are the negativity of mind state that arise because your spiritual faculty are not there. Then sometimes you didn't keep your precept well enough. Then you don't know how to go about resolving issue or what they call problems. If you don't know how to resolve them, you will cling on to them, you will hold on to them, you will worry about them. Understand? So your problem is very common. Living being used to have all these problems. You know what are the problems? The first noble truth, reality. Health problem, career problem, money problem, financial problem, then relationship problem, understand? Then you got so much issue. If you are married, you got children problem. Then you worry about their education, you worry about their health, you worry about their safety. Then you got problem with your tenant, your neighbor, your property, and all those things. Then sometimes income tax. So everything make you restless, fear, worry. So how can you be peaceful? But you have the wisdom, you understand all this are sankhara. Then why should I arise? My focus is develop the understanding, straighten my view, resolve it. Resolve it means what? Settle it. The moment I settle, no more problem. And the easiest way is through wisdom. If I can accept the reality of the moment, I'm at peace. My problem is gone. Because I don't perceive anything with negativity. Then I ask myself, what can I do to resolve this amicably so that nobody get hurt? And then you apply Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? Straighten your view, apply Noble Eightfold Path. Be at peace. Don't react, don't stir, don't create negativity. Then right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood with Samasati and Samasamadhi. Learn to see things as they are. Learn to develop the wisdom to understand. Then that mind that understand is different. There is love, there is compassion, there is understanding, there is joy. So there is no more reaction of mind, stirring of mind. Because you know all these are impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity, cannot be owned, cannot be possessed. So don't be deluded by it. Then through all this straightening of you, you start to understand no reality. The reality is the here and the now. This for my mind got karma, so I must avoid all evil. I must get things resolved. Sometimes people used to tell me they got this property, they rent it out. Actually, you can have property to rent it out means you are so much better than the person who don't even have a house there, own a house there, they have to rent from people there. Then you know what they complain about. My tenant didn't pay me. Every time I go and chase after him, he tell me this story, that story, you know. Then I ask back, so? You have to resolve it, isn't it? You have your rights, understand? I'm not asking you to chase him out. I mean, be reasonable with people. Find out from him, talk to him very nicely. The rental is due according to the tenancy agreement. You're supposed to pay by the first 7 days. So I hope you can pay me so that you continue to stay. Otherwise, I may ask you to vacate. You will have to vacate. And then they will come back to you. If they really have a problem, then you check whether it's sincere or not. Say, okay, fair enough. If you need more time, let me know. But I need you to be sincere. If you lie to me, after this window I give you, I will have to ask you to vacate because you have the deposit, so you don't have to worry about him not paying you another. You got 2 months to do all these things. So that 2 month deposit with the utility actually is 3 months, enough for you to solve the problem. You don't have to get angry and unhappy over it. Understand? Just talk to people nicely. Even I myself also went through all this during my early days. And even now, I also got 2 or 3 property rented out. But I don't have a problem at all. Understand? And all this get resolved very easily. Sometimes I just WhatsApp and text the rental for this month is already overdue. Can you check whether you have banked it or not? So most of the time, initially, if they forgot, just new, they will come back to you and they will be like, they don't feel so good. You know? They always tell me, sorry, Mr. Teo. They don't call me Mr. Teo. They say, Mr. Teo, really sorry, I forgot to bank in. Then he said, by tomorrow, you will see the money. Then resolve. Then sometimes they have some problem, especially near to Hari Raya or what. Their festival and all that. Then they will tell you, he said, Mr. Teo, you allow me a few more days. I will bank it in. Or sometimes they may say, latest by the end of this week. And these are genuine people. That's why I said, no problem, don't worry. You don't have to rush. As long as you really tell me honestly, sincerely, your situation, no problem. Because I got this tenant, actually, the wife. The wife is very good. The wife deal with me. So this lady, Malay lady, the husband sometimes the salary delay. And sometimes, I don't know, the company got problem or what. So the salary delay. So there was one occasion, I think the husband promised her, then didn't manage to get the money in time. I think that month, don't know what happened. And she called me up. He said, Mr. Teo, don't worry. I use my own money first. Oh, she banged in straight away. And after that, until now, no more problem. So she has been renting my place, I think, 2 over years already. Then the other one, very good. I ran to a Buddhist, Penang. My wife also went and see the tenant with me before. Every month, no need to wait till 1st or 7th. End of the month, 25th, 26th, or later 29th, he will bang in. So, resolve it, understand? No need to get angry over it. So, when you can resolve things, that is a solution. That is wisdom. Don't get angry, irritated, restless over situation. Because when you perceive it with negativity, it becomes problem. Okay, we better end. Because 10:30 something already. Then Chin Hao is very tired. Oh, no wonder. Never mind. So when your body is tired, rest. Then the rest of the part of the sloth and topper you go and read. Wait till the short note come out. So just I brief you a bit. So what you can do is the sloth and topper, like this mental hindrance under Dhammanupassana, the fourth foundation of mindfulness. The first category of practice is mindfulness of the 5 mental hindrances. The Buddha said, when the mental hindrances are there, you have to be aware. Like sloth and topper, you're aware. Then when you are aware, That is the third way that the Buddha teach. And there's a five way to overcome unwholesome thought. The mindfulness way, awareness way. So you just silence your mind, aware, be with it. Don't do anything. Accept that the mental hindrances are there, where my spiritual faculty are not there, not stable. So when I accept, I don't have aversion towards the sloth and torpor. There is no mental hindrance. Then what happens? Then, when you are aware, be with the sloth and torpor, all of a sudden there will be a shift in consciousness. Suddenly the virya will come. Then there is brightness. Then the awareness suddenly appears. That's how sloth and torpor can cease. Because sati take over. And when sati take over, you need virya to counter it. That's why the mind creates a shift in consciousness. And the virya together with sati come in. You have to experience that. Then in future, sloth and torpor no more problem. It can never come in and disturb you anymore. You just know how to silent, relax, and be with it. Pain also same. Don't react. Don't create mental hindrance. And it will go. Okay? Yeah. So now we will share merit, transfer merit. Then you can make your aspiration. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Maitreya, and all the worthy one. Then we end.
Dear brothers and sisters in the Dharma, let's express our gratitude to Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo for coming so far to share profound Dharma with us by saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Sister PG for fetching Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to everybody for coming to class and for bringing all the offerings. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
I lent you the bell. No, you want the bell or not? I know, you're very tired.